It's the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Lawmakers in Wisconsin have been working for years to address the state's water issues, from groundwater pollution to contaminated wells. Last week, Governor Tony Evers announced a $10 million program funded through federal COVID-19 relief under the American Rescue Plan Act to help private well owners struggling with groundwater contamination. It's part of efforts to improve access to clean water. Lawmakers say the funding based on the state's well compensation grant program could impact more than 1,000 additional wells statewide. So how does the program work and who will qualify? Join in this discussion, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Katrina Shankland is a Democratic State Assembly lawmaker representing the 71st District in Stevens Point. Katrina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Todd Novak is a Republican State Assembly lawmaker representing the 51st District in Dodgeville. Todd, welcome back to the Ideas Network as well.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Governor Tony Evers this week announced this plan using $10 million in federal COVID pandemic relief funding for a grant program that would clean up contaminated drinking wells. So how much could that amount of money address this issue? Katrina, how big a deal is this?
This is a massive deal to have $10 million to support people across rural Wisconsin, including small business owners like our daycare centers, our rural restaurants, and other small businesses, and even churches. Is really significant, and it's going to be transformational for the people who haven't been able to drink water from their taps. This has been my eighth attempt, including four different bills and multiple budget motions and proposals since 2017. It's something the Water Quality Task Force tried to address, but was unable to be successful. And to have the governor listen and take action because we couldn't afford to wait any longer is really significant to the people of Wisconsin, who will be able to have up to $16,000 of their cost to remediate their water or replace their well in their pockets to help with that at a time when many people are struggling. So I really appreciate the leadership of the governor and was glad to stand with him to announce this new grant.
Todd, the governor has authority over spending the federal pandemic relief funds. Does the legislature as a whole approve of using the money this way?
You know, I haven't talked to any colleagues of my side of the aisle. I totally do. I agree with Katrina. We've been talking about this for a long time. Katrina and I have worked together on water for 2-3 years now, and this has been a priority of ours. And while we were able to get some money to increase the well compensation grant program in the state budget, it wasn't enough. So I think this is a good shot in the arm and gives us a springboard to start the next session off with.
Katrina, tell me how this works. How do people apply for the funding? Has that been ironed out yet?
Absolutely. So at this point, everyone should know that the program will launch October 3rd. And in the meantime, what you can do is you can go on the DNR's website and subscribe under ARPA Well Grant to get email notifications and updates about the program application. I think the DNR will be issuing awards on a continuous basis until all that funding is expended. So people should be prepared to apply in October. One of the things that's important to know about is if you've had a test in the past 2 years that has tested, for example, for nitrate above 10 parts per million, that way you can use one of those tests from the last couple years and then get another test as well. And so I think that's going to help a lot of people knowing that they should be prepared to get a well sample from a qualified and licensed lab. And secondly, I think people should be ready to attend a webinar if they have any questions. It sounds like the DNR is going to be hosting one in the coming weeks to provide more information for people about the new program.
Todd, I'm curious, is this for property owners only, or is there any help for, say, a renter in a rural area? What should a renter do?
Well, I believe the renter should talk to their landlord because, I would be with the property owner. So they should work together in unison. But, $10 million sounds like a lot of money, but in reality, it is a lot of money. And when you're talking replacing wells and issues like that, it isn't. So that's why I urge anybody that has an issue to apply for the funding right away, because I have a feeling it's probably going to run out and probably pretty quick. So I think it's very important that people that have a problem with their wells, contamination or whatever, jump on this right away.
We're talking about water quality in the state with Assembly Representatives Todd Novak and Katrina Shanklin. Katrina, Wisconsin in April established a commercial nitrogen optimization pilot program. What are the results of that so far?
Absolutely. So that was part of a bill that Representative Novak and I worked on together with other members of the task force. And we were really excited about this because we wrote this bill along with Representative Trano, who's a farmer, to really help people who want to do the right thing and reduce the nitrogen loading on the front end of things in order to prevent nitrogen leaching and water contamination on the back end of things. And so what this new pilot program will do is it will provide farmers up to $50,000 over two growing seasons, as long as they work with a UW system researcher to manage their nitrogen loading. So in this case, it would be commercial fertilizer, and work with them to maximize water quality and their yield. So instead of just focusing on the agronomics, it's balancing that with water quality. And so the reason why we call it optimization is we want to find the right formula that keeps farmers in business, staying strong, passing their farm to the next generation, and feeding Wisconsin and the country and the world, while also making sure everyone can drink their groundwater. And it's important to note that many, many people in Wisconsin get their well water from groundwater. So we're trying to tackle this problem at the source. So we just talked about the well grant program. That's really remediation. Now we're looking at prevention. And so this $50,000 grant for farmers, I believe, will also be transformational in changing practices, managing nitrogen loading, and protecting water quality all in one go.
Todd, you've said that water quality referendums are a good idea because they keep the issue in voters' minds. What's the importance of keeping the public interested in water quality and keeping their minds on this issue?
No, I think it's a very important, especially to not only Representative Shanklin and I, but other legislators in the state. They need to hear from their constituents. You know, Representative Shanklin and I are leaders on this issue, but, you know, there's 98 other assembly members and 33 Senate members that we have to work with. So I think by putting water referendums on the ballot in November, and so, like some counties are doing, I think it's great, because I know what's going to happen. They're going to pass by 70 or 80%. Everybody wants clean water. I think that's, and it's not a Democrat or Republican issue, it's a state of Wisconsin issue. We worked very hard on the task force together. You know, we had some big bills come through the assembly that we passed and sent to the Senate. Unfortunately, COVID hit. We were able to do a lot last session, but we need to keep it going. You know, Katrina and I said from the start, this is just the start, and we plan on doing more and more every session. And so I think it's important to hear from the legislators, hear from the people back home, their voters, that they support clean water.
Katrina, what do you think about that? The referendums that some counties around the state are asking voters, they're asking them straight out, should there be a state right to clean water? What's your view on that?
I completely agree. And Todd's right. The majority of voters in counties, both purple, red, and blue, have all voted to support these referenda because they know water. Everyone should be able to drink water from their taps. We should all have access to clean drinking water. I think Representative Novak and I are proof that Democrats and Republicans can work together on water quality to get results. And our voters in our communities and voters in central Wisconsin and across the state are voting overwhelmingly to say we should be working together to protect our water.
Katrina Shankland is a Democratic State Assembly lawmaker. She represents the 71st District in Stevens Point. Todd Novak is a Republican State Assembly lawmaker representing the 51st District in Dodgeville. This is the State Capitol Report. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. A $10 million grant program announced last week by Governor Tony Evers will help residents struggling with groundwater contamination improve access to clean drinking water. Lawmakers say the program will make funding more accessible by expanding eligibility requirements and lowering contamination limits. Join in with your clean water concerns and whether you think this program goes far enough to address the issue. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Todd Novak and Katrina Shanklin, both members of the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality, stay with us. The State Department of Natural Resources is setting water quality standards for so-called forever chemicals. They've set that at 70 parts per trillion in drinking water. It's the same as a 2016 federal recommendation. Katrina, is that a good enough standard?
So I think it's important to recognize that originally they were proposing 20 parts per trillion and combined for PFOA and PFOS. And many different groups across the state who are facing groundwater, surface water, and other contamination due to PFAS exposure, including of the soils, were concerned about 70. I think they were willing to take that over nothing, absolutely. But I also think the research that has come out since then from the EPA, which shows the maximum exposure should be well below 70, means that I think eventually there will be a federal standard that is much lower than that. So I'm willing to take this 70 over nothing, but I was disappointed in the NRB vote that they failed to pass groundwater standards at all. And then they did significantly weaken the proposed drinking water standard from 70 down to 20. So that's why I've been a co-author of the CLEAR Act for several sessions, since that would put us to the point where both DNR and DHS, our state agencies, have recommended the public protection and public health standard be at a 20 parts combined for PFOA and PFOS.
The Department of Natural Resources lists dozens of sites around the state that are contaminated with PFAS. And last session, lawmakers passed a bill banning the use of PFAS-containing firefighting foams. So one step there. Todd, where should lawmakers go next on this issue? It's something people are really talking about statewide.
Well, I think once we start getting more testing done at municipal plants and such, we're going to have a better idea of how far and how much this PFAS is contaminated is in our water. You know, you need to remember you brought up firefighting foam, which is a leader in contamination. However, you know, PFAS is in, like, I can't remember how many hundreds of items. You know, you're talking Teflon, water repellent clothing, some form of that chemical is in everything. It's in our daily lives. So I'm not sure, we need to find out where it's all at first and go from there. I would just say I agree with Representative Shanklin, though. We need to have a standard. And I think the federal government needs to lead on this. Every state is different. We dug into this. It's like, one state has a certain standard, another state has a different standard. It's important that the federal government take the lead instead of, 50 states having 50 different standards.
And Katrina, when do you think that the federal government will come down with that standard? We've heard things from maybe October, maybe not until next spring. Do you have a sense of when that federal standard might come down?
Well, I think it takes a while to do administrative rulemaking, and that's why I believe, at the earliest, it would be at least a year to several years from now. And I think knowing that there are always folks who say, let's wait for this and wait for that, knowing that there may be court challenges, since that seems to be the modus operandi for a lot of folks as it relates to health standards, I feel that the state needs to take action. Other states like Michigan have, and I think at the end of the day, people deserve to be able to drink their water from their tap, regardless of contaminant, whether it's lead, PFAS, bacteria, nitrate. And so I do think that the legislature could pass the CLEAR Act. I would say, at the end of the day, we have to look at the fact that states have rights to do so, and we can do so too.
We're talking about water quality in the state with Assembly Representatives Todd Novak and Katrina Shanklin. Todd, you led the Bipartisan Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality. The task force in 2020 produced more than a dozen bills with the goal of promoting clean water in the state. Did the task force achieve those goals?
We did last year. You know, the initial task force, the bills we put out, of course, like as I said before, failed in the Senate. But we're plugging away. Last session, we were able to get some of the ideas and bills that we originally proposed out. I think, Katrina, you mentioned the nitrogen pilot program, you know, a state hydrologist position, freshwater collaborative, Wisconsin with the university system is great. You know, we also increased county conservation staff in the state. I mean, it's things like that. So we did bring some back from the task force, and that's the plan this session too. I know Katrina and I are already talking about things we want to do. You know, we originally started the task force. Representative Tranel and I requested it and to have a blueprint. When Katrina and I first met for the first time, decide how we were going to do this, we wanted to set a blueprint to build off of, and it's going to take some time to do that. And we want to keep going at it, and hopefully we'll have a blueprint that when Katrina and I are both gone out of the assembly that somebody else can build on, because this just can't be. I think the important thing is we just can't keep doing this every 2 years. I can't keep going to the putting budget motions in the budget every 2 years to try to do this and do that. We need some solid funding sources, and we need some permanent fixes.
Katrina, what are some of the things that were on your wish list as a task force that perhaps did not see the light of day?
I think the biggest thing is reforming the state's well compensation grant program. So while the $10 million from the DNR and Governor Evers are a fantastic start, I think it's important to recognize that that is a supplemental new grant program, and that the state still has an antiquated program with outdated and stringent requirements, like having to own livestock that drink at least 3 months from a contaminated well. And so the money that was added in the last budget to that program hasn't been and cannot be spent for nitrate, because virtually no one qualifies. In fact, the last time someone qualified for it for nitrate was in 2019. So we have several new million dollars sitting in a pot waiting to be spent. That's not being fiscally conservative if we can't spend it, but we decided to allocate it, right? So let's open that up. We need to change that law. Again, I've worked on this at least through four different bills over the last 6 years, seven different tries through multiple budgets as well. So let's get that done. Let's open up that program to as many people as possible. And then secondly, I think what we really need to do is ensure, as Representative Novak said, and I completely agree, that we have a long-term funding strategy. So let's take a look at Ohio. Ohio passed what was called H2 Ohio a few sessions ago, and they worked together across the aisle to pass bipartisan support for a long-term funding solution for their water, including their surface water. Both Representative Novak and I have introduced legislation to establish a state clean water fund, and that's really where I believe we need to head. Putting forward bills piecemeal can support a short-term strategy, and Representative Novak and I have done a good job of that. We've gotten $5 per acre cover crop insurance, a state hydrologist position, delaying the Wisconsin funds sunset, adding producer-led watershed grant funding and county conservationist funding and the freshwater collaborative. But at the end of the day, it's going to take more leadership than just two legislators who care about water. We need the whole legislature to recognize together that everyone in Wisconsin needs clean drinking water, and we need to fund it. We need to put our money where our mouths are and establish a clean water fund. So I would challenge my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to work with us on that. I would love to see another water task force come back next session so we can continue working. But I do want people to know that I think overall the water quality task force was a success. The majority of the bills that we introduced in the 2019-2020 session have been passed and signed into law. And the few remaining, we will continue to work on together, including well testing, well compensation, and more.
Todd, we have about 30 seconds left in our time together. What should the legislature's next steps be on water quality?
Well, like Katrina just said, she listed off a whole list of things that we've done, accomplished, and we need to go from there. I think we will start, we'll go back to the report. We'll see what we haven't done. We'll rebuild on those. And also, I think that what I really want to do, I agree, I would love to bring back the task force. We had a great group to work with, and it was a bipartisan group. And kind of use that as a basis, work with the DNR, the university system like we did before, the agencies that were involved, and just sit down and see what's our priorities.
That sounds great, Todd. I thank you so much for your thoughts today. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate that. And Katrina, thank you so much for being here as well.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Katrina Shankland is a Democratic State Assembly lawmaker representing the 71st District in Stevens Point. Todd Novak is a Republican State Assembly lawmaker representing the 51st District in Dodgeville. Ahead on the State Capitol Report, we talk with local government officials about local referenda, asking if Wisconsin's 1849 near total ban on abortion should be overturned. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. News Update is next on the Ideas Network.